Good morning. Every time we sing our singing worship time, I just feel like God touches me. One of the phrases that came to, you know, sits in my mind is, "You are perfect in all your ways." Isn't that a great truth? You are perfect in all your ways. Yeah. Thanks for being here. I know Rob said that. Rob's gone, so I'll talk about him for a minute. I'm going to miss him. I think that God has blessed these 42 years in incredible ways, probably dozens of ways we don't even know, you know. But bless the work of the gospel and the church. And so really the baton is being passed to all of us, so to speak. And this is a lighthouse for Christ. It is my desire that it stays that way. And I hope it's your desire that it stays that way and that we can be as bold and as effective as we can be in our future together. We have a very exciting passage of Scripture this morning. There is, I can tell you already, I know there's not enough time to talk about all of it, but we're going to try to hit some highlights in John chapter 13. But I want you to do something. You know, I'm kind of the corny guy who asks you to do stuff. I want you to turn to the person next to you. It may take just a minute because you each have to say this and say, "I'm learning to love like Jesus does." Can you do that? Just find somebody next to you.
I'm learning to love like Jesus does.
Me too. I'm learning to love like Jesus does. It's an uphill battle.
It is.
Yep. Do you remember the little song that says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another," 1 John 4:7-8. Now you know a Bible verse too, a song and a Bible verse. This passage of John 13, Pastor Rob led us through the scriptures that said, "Glory to Jesus." We practiced that a few times last week. And then it leads into this scene that we're going to talk about. I wrote the words, "The greatest impact." What God says, what Jesus says to the disciples in these verses of Scripture, and I'm going to kind of summarize, then we're going to talk about all the way through this passage as best we can in the time we have. God says, as we, the church, learn to love each other, that witness has a supernatural ripple effect. The way for us as a church, as Christian people, to have the greatest impact. You guys, just ask yourself, don't you want to have a great impact for Christ? We've been saved. We just celebrated our salvation in the communion, what God has done for us. And man, we've got a list of people that we're thinking about and praying about, people you want to be saved. In this passage, God says, one of the greatest impacts you can have is the way you love people in the body of Christ. Now, we are to love God, first of all, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the scripture says, and love your neighbor as, right? So that's our first priority, is that we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. This passage tells us that the way we love one another will show the world that we are his disciples. Now, the Rudnesses and I were talking between services, and they said, you know, one of the fears or misconceptions we have is that we're supposed to love other people out of our fleshly strength. I had a professor in seminary that said, if there is no root, there is no fruit. Okay? So our root is in Christ Jesus. And you think about any plant, any tree you have, you've got to, if the tree is going to thrive on top, it's got to have a good root system. Amen? And the root system is our relationship with Christ and our ongoing growth in our relationship with Christ. Trusting Him, praying, reading His Word, spending time, just living with Jesus. The deeper the root, the more fruit there is. And the scriptures here say that if we want to have a great impact, we need to love the brethren. So we love God first, then we love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, and then it's not that we don't love the world, but then we have the obligation or the responsibility to be ambassadors to the world. And you know what? The biggest, the most impactful way, the greatest impact we can have is the way that we love one another. And I'm still learning to do that. That's why I had you say to each other, I'm learning to love the way Jesus loves. I'm growing. That's what this scripture talks about. I'd like to, what's next on our slide here, buddy? So this is the scripture. It says, little children, John 13. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. Jesus knows he's going to the cross. He's already explained it to the disciples, and he knows that he's going to die on the cross. He's going to rise again, and he's reminding them in many, many scriptures throughout these passages. He says to the people, I'm just going to be here for a short time. Okay? These are kind of final words from Jesus. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, he's just going back a couple of days in his life. He had the same question from the Jews. As I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, and he's just talking to the 12 disciples, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, I just want to make a kind of a distinction or a contrast. In the Old Testament, it said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then it says, and love your neighbor as yourself. In the New Testament, Jesus says, love one another as I have. That's right. So the first time is we're in the Old Testament. There's kind of the admonition, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor like you love yourself. It's a new dynamic. It's a dimension. It's a new dimension of love. He says, not only like you love yourself, but love each other like I have loved you. Okay? So let's go to the next slide, buddy. So in this passage, we're going to jump back to the Old Testament for a minute, but I just kind of want to tell you some things that have been happening up to this point. Pastor Rob and I have been preaching through John for many months, and even though it's taken us probably 6 or 8 weeks to get through the last two chapters, it's only been one day in Jesus' life. Okay, so all this time is just one day in Jesus' life. And Jesus has been working and talking to the Pharisees during the day. He's had people who have accused him of stuff during the day. He has reassured his disciples and said to his disciples, hey, walk in the light while you have the light, because there's a day coming where you're going to be in darkness. And to some degree, we walk in the time of darkness because Christ has ascended, but we have the light inside. Praise God. We have the Holy Spirit that walks with us. Okay? So all of these things have happened. Jesus and the disciples are wearied. It's coming up to the Passover meal. So all these interactions have been happening, and they're getting ready for a big dinner. How are you when you're getting ready for a big dinner and you've already had a full day? People are coming over. Got to get the house clean. Got to get everything ready. And Jesus and the disciples, he sends the disciples in and says, go prepare for this Passover meal. The disciples go in, they prepare for the Passover meal. And Jesus and the disciples have dinner together. In the same evening, Jesus knows Judas. And he knows Judas's motivation. And he knows what Judas is going to do. So he's got this call, this passion, this mission that he is on. He's got these wonderful brothers that surround him. And in the midst of it, he's got a betrayer. I don't know if we can even feel the emotion coming into this night. So then a couple of weeks ago, we preached about the fact that Jesus, it says after supper, think of the words, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus, it says, he takes off his outer garment and he girds himself with a towel and he prepares to wash the disciples' feet. I just want to tell you, there is no act that we can do in serving each other that should ever be beneath us. Jesus, the master of all masters, the King of Kings, was willing to kneel down before sinners and wash their feet. And by the way, Rob was talking too the other day about a foot washing service. And often in a foot washing service, I might wash Joyce's feet, she might wash my feet, and there'd be an interaction, a tenderness, a touching of each other's flesh and feet and being able to do that. But think of Jesus. Jesus has 12 disciples, including the betrayer, and he goes one to the next to the next. And Jesus has the opportunity to serve each one of the disciples as he goes along. And that whole time, while Jesus is washing Peter's feet or John's feet, all the other disciples are watching and thinking, what is going on? What is Jesus doing? And he is washing the disciples' feet. He is caring for them. It's an act of love. It is an act of service. By the way, the washing of the disciples' feet, it says in that passage, it says Jesus loved them to the end. It wasn't just washing feet in how he was demonstrating his love. Think of how Jesus was loving those disciples. He knew that all 12 of them would betray him that night. It says in the garden, they all ran away. Not any of them stood by Jesus. Isn't it incredible that Jesus loves us, knowing everything about us? God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. That's incredible. So Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. He washes each one. They're all watching and learning. And then right after that passage, we're going to come to it in the next few weeks, and it says, and no servant is above his master. You know, if the master is willing to do that, then the servant should be willing to do that. You know, I wonder if we just asked ourselves the question, what keeps us from loving each other? Sometimes I don't allow you to serve me as your brother in Christ. I think there's a fact and a truth that most of us are so independent and self-sufficient and proud that we really don't want to voice our need. And so we do it by ourselves. I think there's something mixed up in that. I think our pride gets in the way. I'm just going to read this passage again. In verse 33, it says, little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, Where I am going, you cannot come. And there's so much in there. Jesus is going to go to the cross. He is going to die. He is going to be buried. He's going to rise again. He's going to ascend to the Father. He's going to come back to the earth. He's going to meet with the disciples. He's going to show himself to hundreds of people. And then he's going to ascend to the Father forever. Ascend to a Father at least until the second coming. And so all of that is taking place in this little verse where it says, you will seek me, as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, so it's kind of like, these are the final words. I say to you, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And by the way, this love, you guys have heard the word agape all the time. That's what this word is, agape, agape, agape. As I have loved you, agape is unconditional love. You know, we all have people in our life who are hard to love. Believers and unbelievers, right? We all have people that are hard to love. You think the disciples were hard to love? Yeah, yeah. Is our love for each other supposed to be based upon how right you are, how good you are, how humble you are? No, my job is to love you as a brother or sister in Christ, to serve you, to care for you. The amazing thing is God says the way we love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, that in itself the world can never deny. They will look at us and say, behold how they love one another. By the way, it is an amazing gift to belong to the body of Christ. I can genuinely say that you have taught me to love so in so many ways and so many times. But we're growing, aren't we? We're growing in love. So the question is, do you want to have the greatest impact? I do. And I want our church to be. Like I said, we've been a lighthouse. We want to keep being a lighthouse. Man, anything we can do to be able to serve each other. So that's kind of what this passage is talking about. This passage right here. So Jesus is giving final words. He actually, for about two chapters, he teaches, and then he prays for his disciples, and then we come into the place where he gets arrested in the garden. But final words. Maybe you remember back in the Old Testament, there's a character named Jacob. Originally, his name was Israel, right? And Israel's name was changed to Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons. Well, at the end of his life, he knew he was dying. And you know what he did? He gathered all his kids together. He says, come here, I got something to say to you. I want to talk to you before I die. And that's a real crucial time. Sometimes we have an opportunity to do that. Sometimes our experiences in life allow us time to do that. Here's what happened in Jacob. It says, now it came to pass after these things that Joseph, the son, was told, indeed, your father is sick. And Joseph took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on his bed. The day that my mom died, she was kind of sitting up in the chair. She was having trouble breathing. And I remember it just really rang true to me. Israel strengthened himself and sat up on his bed. Then Jacob said to Joseph, and this is what he wanted to tell him. He said, Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And the next slide, please. And said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and will make of you a multitude of people, and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. So Isaac, Jacob is just passing down this information to Joseph. And then you jump down to verse 21, and it says, then Israel, that was Jacob's other name, first name, then Israel said, no, Jacob was first, then it became Israel. Then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. So we just have these final words. I just thought it'd be good for us to take a look at another passage. There's a lot of other stories of final words that could be talked about. So jump to the next slide, would you, please? So in Jesus' final words, so he gathers the disciples. By the way, Judas has left. They've had the Last Supper, and Jesus has washed their feet. And Jesus, it says, then he, said they were going to share, and he was teaching them kind of the Last Supper, the bread and the wine, the communion. And it says, how would they identify the betrayer? Peter says, John, do you know who's going to betray Jesus? And Jesus, John is there by Jesus. And John says, Jesus, who is it? And Jesus says, he who dips in the cup with me is going to betray me. So Judas dips in the cup with him. Judas, I don't know what he understood, but he took of that, and then Jesus says to him, what you have to do, do quickly. The guys didn't understand, and Judas leaves. Now we have this scene before these words are said, and Judas has left, and it's kind of like Jesus with the faithful 11 that are still there. And he says these words. From that, these things looked obvious to me from the scripture. First of all, we are the disciples left after Jesus has returned to the Father. He was talking to the disciples. He said, love one another as I have loved you. And those same words, that same admonition is our admonition. So we are the disciples that are left after Jesus has returned to the Father. We are reminded in this passage of his deity and his glory. Pastor Rob talked about Jesus' deity. As you love the Father, so you love me, and on and on. We are the loved and endeared little children, and I'm going to talk about that some more. We are given purpose and meaning and motivation. You guys, this should be right here. This right here. We are given purpose, meaning, and motivation. We are Christian people. We're the lighthouse in Somerset, California. We're going to reach out to Somerset and River Pines and Mount Ockham and Outingdale and Fairplay and everywhere around here. And we're going to reach out to our family and friends. And God has said to us, Jesus says to his disciples, love each other as I have loved you. And when the world sees that, they will know that you are my disciples. Lord, help me to love like Jesus loves. So that is purpose and meaning and motivation to us. We have Jesus' incredible example of washing the feet and the description that he loved them to the end. We have a deeper call as Old Testament and New Testament measures of love are contrasted. Old Testament, love your neighbor as yourself. New Testament, love as I have loved you with his very life. We are assured that as we agape love the brethren, all the world will see and absolutely know. By the way, when it says all will know that you are my disciples, I don't know much Greek, but I know I looked up the word and it's gnosko. Okay? That's the word to know. And it means to be absolutely sure. From that, I know that when the world sees how we love each other, they know we're God's disciples. We're Jesus' disciples. That's the greatest impact we could have. And let me just say again, I am just amazed through the years, the expressions of love. You know, could there be more? Sure there could. But you know what? It is undeniable. The world looks at us and they say, those Christian people are different. Unbelievers care. Unbelievers show compassion and mercy, and they reach out to each other. But there's a Holy Spirit difference in what happens to us as believers, as we care. I can't convince you. I just want the Scripture to convince you. The Scripture is convincing us right now the greatest impact we could have is the way we care for one another. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, love is. Remember? It says love is patient, and love is kind, and love is not envious, and love does not keep a record of wrongs, and love is not rude, and love bears with one another. Love, and it just goes on, and that's how we love. Not that I deserve your love, not that I'm always, you know, not that we're the person who is the easiest to love. We just have this, you know, as I forgave you, so you forgive each other. As I was patient with you, so be patient with each other. As I bear with you, you know, Jesus bore with those disciples, so we bear with each other. Give each other grace. Give each other latitude. Care about one another. So, next, and we're his children. Is this the next one? Yeah, okay. So we are promised a supernatural ripple effect of his love for one another. Let me start again. We are promised a supernatural ripple effect of his love for one another working in us. Hopefully that makes sense. Number two, we are followers of Jesus. And as followers, we are launched in a lifelong mission to love one another. We are affirmed that as we live Christ-like love, that it is worth the effort, the sacrifice, the investment, the time, the inconvenience that it takes to love one another. Remember, like I said, when there's no root, there's no fruit. So don't try to do this caring, loving, reaching out. It's like the deeper you are in your dependence on Christ, the more you can reach out to the people that are around you. But when the world sees that, they cannot deny that this is of God. The last thing, we are blessed that as believers we are privileged to be his little children. So, the bottom part, 33, little children, I shall be with you. I shall be with you a little while longer and you will see me. I just want to talk about the little children phrase for a few minutes. I'm not sure which, here we go. So Jesus calls them my little children. I'm going to try to describe why this is significant. As we get older, we feel like we're more mature, we're more able, we are independent, self-sufficient. We kind of know something. But Jesus is talking to full-grown adult men when he says to the disciples, my little children. And all throughout the scriptures, and that word is the word technion, or technon, it's the word for little child. It actually is the word for infant, or what you'd say to a baby, my little darling. Can you imagine the disciples knew this word. Jesus says to them, my little children. I think that he was trying to communicate to the disciples, we're always little children. We always need God to be nurturing us. We always need the Holy Spirit to be working in us. We need to stay teachable, and we need to say, Father, help me. I'm young. I need your strength. I need your help. I need to be in a place of really honest dependence on God in my life. I'm 57. I've been walking with the Lord for a few years. It doesn't matter. God wants me to be his child, have childlike faith, have childlike trust. You know, when you're working with a little baby, and any parent who has a little baby, you know, you nurture them, you hold them, you love them. And, you know, little kids, they're pretty indiscriminate. They say things when they probably shouldn't say things, and they smell up the room when you least expect it. You know, they make sounds that interrupt other people. Jesus says, my little children, I love you. I love you all the time. I love you when you're obnoxious. I love you when you have bad smells. I love you. I know this is kind of weird, but Jesus is saying to them, look at this tenderness we have. Look at this relationship. You know, people used to joke with me about changing my kids' diapers. I had a cousin who said, yeah, when the diaper gets dirty, that's when you call your wife in. I was so glad that my brother said to me during that time, before we had our first child, Jamin, he said, Jim, the most tender times I had with my kids was changing their diapers. There's nothing like changing the diaper of a kid who's suffering with a wet or dirty diaper, and you can relieve them, you can clean them up, you can make them comfortable, you can offer this gift to them. It's a beautiful picture. Jesus says to them, my little children, depend upon me, stay humble, stay teachable, let me nurture you. More and more, I want that kind of relationship with my God. That's the first word, little children. And that's exactly what that word infers. In fact, if you go throughout Scripture, it's all through 1 John, it's through John, it's through Ephesians and Colossians, where Paul and Jesus keep referring to the fact that we are little children. So, I don't know, fit that in your category, you're thinking about how we're learning to love like Jesus, staying dependent on him and so on. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer, and you will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot find me. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this all will know. And that all is not just the body of Christ all. That's everybody. Anybody who observes your love, they will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's like Jesus just keeps saying the same thing over and over and over again. I think he wants them to get it. I think he wants them to understand the power of this agape love between brothers and sisters in Christ as we care for each other. The next slide, please. So here it is again. Do you want to have a great impact in the world? Love one another. Love God with all your heart. Love one another as I have loved you. And then tell the world about God's great love, and the love we have for the brethren, for each other, will have a ripple effect that all the world cannot deny. If we had all afternoon, I would say to you, give me some examples how you felt loved by the body of Christ. And I'm sure there are times where we wish people had come alongside and they haven't. But think about the times where a brother or sister has reached out to you, has touched your soul and cared for you and loved you. It's amazing. Let's go to the next slide. So little children, again, we are God's little children. Little children are warned. We say to our kids, don't go close to the stove. You'll get burned, right? And there's a warning in different passages of Scripture where Jesus talks about that. Little children are defended. Little children are loved and provided for. We are always little children. Little children, you overcome because you are of God. And I wish we had time to talk about that. But the Apostle John is writing and he's talking about how the Antichrist will come and Satan will come and all these bad things can happen. There's evil in the world. But because you're my child, you have overcome. And that's what that last line is for. Let's go to the next one. So then it says again, the commandment is, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Next slide, please. So, just a few quick things about how that love shows up. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says that we're to walk in love. And then it says, and as you do, you're a sweet-smelling aroma. You know, back in the Old Testament, they had sacrifices. And when they would sacrifice a piece of meat on the barbecue, any of you guys like barbecue? And you're in the area of the barbecue and you smell that tri-tip cooking and you're hungry, that's a sweet-smelling aroma. God says, as we walk in love, our life is a sweet-smelling aroma to God. As we trust Him, as we make a sacrifice, as we inconvenience ourselves to serve a brother or sister in need, God looks upon that and He says, oh, that's good. That's good. Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 5, it says, as Christ, it's talking about how Christ has loved, and there's all these phrases, and then it says, have the same love as Christ. And we've talked about that. Colossians 1, verse 4, we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and love for all the saints. Interesting, that one verse has the ripple effect in it. The Apostle Paul is talking to the people at Colossae, and when he talks to the people, he says, you know what? There's something happening out there. It's getting around. The word is getting around. How you love one another. He says, we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ. So they've got the faith part. They've got the faith part and your love for all the saints. I know I'm just driving this nail in. It's the same thought over and over and over again. But I really am admonished by it myself. Colossians chapter 3, there's this passage where it says, put on. You probably remember this passage in Colossians 3. It says, put off, and then it lists a bunch of things. Put off evil, malice, hatred, discord from among the brethren. Put on tender mercies. And then that verse ends with, put on tender mercies, patience, kindness. Above all things, put on agape. In 1 Thessalonians 3:12, it says, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, and yourselves are taught by God to love one another. That's the end of a phrase, and he's saying all these things about your relationship to God. And he says, and you yourselves have been taught to love one another by God himself. Next slide, please. So, how do we love one another? How do we resound? So the Bible says there's a sound that comes from our life. There's a chord that comes from our life. In this passage of Scripture, it says, you know, if I have all knowledge and I can prophesy and I can tell the world about Jesus, but I don't have love, what's it worth? Man, that's really important to get a hold of. If I can do all this spiritual stuff, but I don't have love, the kind of love Jesus is talking about, it's worth nothing. Nothing. If I have all faith so that I could make mountains move and have not love, it's worth nothing. Verse 3 at the bottom, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Go to the next slide, please. So it says, love suffers long and is kind. Once again, it's not because we're lovable. It's because it's my responsibility. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. And it's like, Lord, help me not only with all you guys, but help me with my wife and my kids. Lord, this is the list for my life. It does not seek its own. That'll cut you where it hurts. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. And it's like, Lord, how could I get through one day of this? not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity or sin, but rejoices in the truth. By the way, none of this is possible without the indwelling Holy Spirit. And God, the rootnesses again were saying to me, you know, let's go back and look at that verse, Galatians 2:20. It says, no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. You know, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I think there's one more. Yeah. I just want to, you can read that if you want, but I want to tell you just a quick little story. Yesterday, I took my truck over to Mark Etter's house. He's going to do some work for me on an engine. I'm really blessed that he's going to help me. And Bill happened to show up at Mark's house. It's all right, Bill, if I tell a little story. And Bill's not real strong right now, but he's in remission, and we praise God for that. And I drove up to Mark's place, and my brother Mark, his arm out like this, and Bill was hanging on to him, and they were walking together. And I just got hit. It was like, gosh, behold how they love one another. And I know that unbelievers do that too, but there's something about the love that is real in the body of Christ. It's like if we want to excel in anything, let's excel in Christ-like love for each other. The promise here is God promises that when people see that kind of genuine love, it's going to send out a ripple effect that they will know that we are Christ's disciples. You know, we can do a community fair, and we can invite kids to VBS, and we can do all these programs, which we'll do, and we will pray over, and we will try to love the community through them. But while we're doing that stuff, while we're doing youth group and going to Mark Matlock and serving food on Fridays, behold how they love one another. Lord, help me to love like Jesus loves. This last passage in John chapter 15, Jesus is praying, and these are the words that he says. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants. A servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I don't know if there's one. Is there one more? Yeah, one more verse. Let's just finish this. The greatest impact. Jesus says the greatest testimony, the greatest example and witness that believers can give to the world, to the unbelieving world, is agape, unconditional love for each other. For Christians, to Christians, pure, undefiled, forgiving, patient, kind, etc. The world will gnosko, and that's that word to know. They will absolutely know that this love is from God. So followers of Jesus, love and adore and worship God. Followers of Jesus, love. They agape the brethren. Followers of Jesus, loving each other, bring a witness, an aroma of God's love that is unmistakable, it's remarkable, it's undeniable, and is unforgettable. To impact the world for Christ, the church shows and lives love for one another. Now, we're still supposed to speak as ambassadors, and we're going to hand out tracts, and we're going to do whatever we do to open the doors for people to know Christ. But Jesus says one of the greatest witnesses you have is to love one another. I think we do it well. I think I need to grow, and I could do it better. But this passage is teaching us this truth. So, the song goes like this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, Let us love one another, 1 John 4:7-8. Lord, help us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the incredible way you've saved us. Rob's letter from Daryl showed that, how you have redeemed us and brought us up out of the pit. You've made us a child of God. You call us little children. And then, Lord, you say, I've given you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples. Lord, I know we've made mistakes and we've done things wrong in the past, and we will make mistakes in the future. But God, I pray that we would just continue to nurture and continue to trust you and deepen our roots with you, so that we can love more effectively. We want to make great impact in this world. We love you. We commit this to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.